You're listening to the Rockingham Baptist Church podcast. We hope you enjoy our sermon of the week. For more information, please visit rockingham.org.au.
Thank you, Lisa, for hearing the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Mark, for leading us in worship and hearing the Holy Spirit too. He's speaking. Amen. Amen. Well, welcome to those watching online this morning. We're into our fourth week of our series, asking the question, who is this Jesus? So who is this one who, although God humbled himself and became fully human as a babe born in a stable? Who, although he is King of kings and Lord of lords, made his triumphant entry into Jerusalem on a donkey? Who, although he is perfect, took the sins of the world upon his shoulders and was crucified on a cross? Who is this Jesus? Do you know him? Yeah, we've all gone quiet. Is this mic okay? It's not booming or anything. It sounds very echoey. All right. So far we have been reminded of the origin of his name, that his name was not given to him by his earthly parents, but proclaimed to Mary by the angel Gabriel. We know that his name, Jesus or Yeshua, means Yahweh is salvation. And we know that his title, the Christ or the Messiah, means the anointed one. And of course, this is indeed who Jesus is and why he came, to save that which is lost. And praise the Lord for that. That's why we are here. That's why we worship this morning. A couple of weeks ago, we looked at two names given to Jesus that are seemingly polar in their image and perception, and yet we cannot understand one without the other. We saw in Revelation how Jesus is called the Lion of the tribe of Judah, and we sang about him this morning. And in the same passage, referred to as the Lamb of God. He is the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecies coming from the lineage of the tribe of Judah. He is the victorious King that reigns forever and ever, who, perfect and without blemish, humbled himself to become the Lamb of God who conquered sin and death on our behalf. He became the sacrificial lamb for our salvation, just as his name, Yeshua, proclaims, Yahweh is salvation. And so it's the suffering Jesus that paves the way for the conquering Jesus. It was his lamb-like surrender that positioned him to become the true Lion of the tribe of Judah. We all know that, or most of us know that. Does it do something in you? Does it move our hearts? Or do we just hear it and continue on our merry way? What Jesus did positioned him to the place where, as Philippians 2 tells us, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name above every other name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus the Christ is Lord. Amen. Amen. This morning I want to take a look at a name, or rather another title, that Jesus called himself. He said, I am the good shepherd. In John 10:11-18, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up. This command I received from my Father. Jesus is speaking here to the Pharisees, the religious leaders, and he is speaking a parable or using language taken from the customs of the Middle East in sheep management. This passage, once again, however, is the fulfillment of a prophetic, powerful message in the Old Testament found in Ezekiel 34, where it says this. For this is what the Sovereign Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so I will look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on a day of clouds and darkness. I will bring them out from the nations and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land. I will pasture them on the mountains of Israel, in the ravines, and in all the settlements in the land. I will tend them in good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel will be their grazing land. There they will lie down in good grazing land, and there they will feed in a rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the Sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak, but the sleek and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice. And down to verse 22, I will save my flock and they will no longer be plundered. I will judge between one sheep and another. I will place over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will tend them. He will tend them and be their shepherd. I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David will be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. Notice the language here in verse 23 especially. It says, I will place over them one shepherd, clearly speaking of Jesus. My servant David, it says, and remember we have previously seen that Jesus is the son of David, of David's lineage, so we see the prophecy fulfilled. And then in verse 24, once again, my servant David will be prince among them. And we know that Jesus is the Prince of Peace, the King, don't we? When we look at the beginning of both of these passages, we see that the heart of the shepherd is being moved. In Ezekiel, the prophet has been sent to warn the shepherds of Israel, or the leaders of God's people, because they were interested in one thing, and that was themselves. They loved the sheep just for their wool and their fat, their goods and provisions to satisfy their own needs. He says in verse 3, you eat the curds, clothe yourselves with the wool and slaughter the choice animals, but you do not take care of the flock. You have not strengthened the weak or healed the sick or bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strays or searched for the lost. Isaiah 61 also speaks prophetically about the Messiah, the Good Shepherd, who will do the opposite of these evil, uncaring and selfish shepherds spoken about in Ezekiel. He says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me," hear it again, "to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives." And again in Psalm 147, David declares, "He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds." Not much had changed when we go over to the New Testament. Jesus is talking to the Pharisees about their spiritual blindness. One commentary says that they are blind leaders or bogus shepherds and are referred to in the passage as the thieves and the robbers because they claim to be caring for God's flock but are only there for the plunder. Again, We see in Matthew 9, 35 to 38, where Jesus has been performing miracles, healing the blind and the mute, raising the dead, but the Pharisees are speaking against him. Why do they do that? It says, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few." The Pharisees were the spiritual leaders or the shepherds of the people, and yet this passage says they were like sheep without a shepherd. We clearly see the heart of the good shepherd for the sheep here. When we look at these passages from Ezekiel and John, there is much we could highlight, such as his message to spiritual leaders who the Lord has entrusted to care for the sheep until his final return. Or we could talk about the separation of the sheep who belong to God's flock and those who do not. But what I want to highlight today, and I think the Holy Spirit's already been highlighting for this last few minutes, is this incredible heart of the shepherd for us, his sheep. Jesus says in John 10, 9 to 11, "I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd." The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The Bible tells us in Matthew that the gate is small and the road is narrow, but that it leads to life. We know that Jesus is that gate. We've just read that. Of course, we know, and we were reminded by both Milo and Sean, that salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. It's only by the name of Jesus. That is Yeshua, our salvation. So our good shepherd lay down his life for our salvation. A little further in this passage we read earlier in verse 14 to 15, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." Jesus knows the Father and is the fulfillment of the Father's will and purpose for your life and for my life. We are the object of our Father's love, that he was ready and willing to voluntarily lay down his life in perfect obedience for his sheep. That is for me and for you. We can therefore be assured that our good shepherd loves his sheep and is longing to have an intimate, close relationship with us so that we will know his voice and we can trust him in everything. We return to Ezekiel 34, 15 to 16, where God says, "I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak, but the sleek and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice." Jesus knows our needs even more than we know them ourselves. He provides protection even while we are lying down. He searches for those who are lost or have strayed, and he brings comfort and healing to those who are hurt, weak, or fearful. Our good shepherd provides and is all that we need. And lastly, we couldn't speak about the good shepherd this morning without looking at one of the most famous and beautiful psalms that we read on many occasions. And I pray that it can come alive and real to us this morning, because we know it so well. And that is Psalm 23, and we're going to read it from the Amplified Version this morning. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, to feed, to guide, and to shield me. I shall not want. He lets me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still and quiet waters. He refreshes and restores my soul, my life. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." Is that good this morning? "Even though I walk through the sunless valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod to protect, your staff to guide, they comfort and console me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed and refreshed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy and unfailing love shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell forever throughout all my days in the house and in the presence of the Lord." What a beautiful psalm. What do we see about the shepherd's heart from this psalm? We see that he is our provider and our sustainer, and his provisions are so good. We see that he is our protector, even though the way he protects might not always be pleasant or what we expect. You know, the rod and the staff are instruments of authority and power, but speak of guidance, correction, and maybe sometimes even discipline. Ouch. But it's all for our good, because he is the good shepherd. He is our healer. He is our restorer. He is our refuge and safe place where we find love, acceptance, understanding, and all those other things that we need. He is our everything. He is sufficient. Let me ask you once again the question I asked earlier. Do you know him? Do you know him as your good shepherd? The good shepherd who loves us so tenderly and knows us so intimately that he voluntarily chose to give his life for your salvation and for mine. The good shepherd who wants an intimate personal relationship with us so that we will know his voice. The good shepherd who protects us, who feeds us, who shelters us and guides us along the right path. Do we know that, Good Shepherd? As we close in prayer this morning, I want to pray for two kinds of people, groups of people specifically this morning. Firstly, if there is someone here and you have never surrendered your heart and life to Jesus, then I want to encourage you not to wait any longer. As we celebrate this Jesus, this Christmas season, why don't you get to know him? He is the good shepherd who is waiting with open arms for you to say yes to him. And secondly, if you do know Jesus, but because of circumstances or struggles, you are struggling to know him as your good shepherd, then I want to pray for you as well. If you're walking through a sunless valley and are struggling to know his presence, his comfort, or maybe you're going through a period of protection and guidance, but you don't know his good shepherd qualities. Whatever you are going through, we can hold on to our good shepherd's amazing love for us, because he will never leave us, never forsake us. He wants to care for his flock this morning. Let's pray together.
Thank you for listening to the Rockingham Baptist Church podcast. If you would like to learn more about our church family, get involved, or have someone pray for you, you can email us at office@rockingham.org.au or send us a message on Facebook.